Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are just very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Jasmine Deanne Andrews. She's an award-winning screenwriter, director, film score composer, and published author of Sullied Bride. She has always loved film scores and composing music. Jasmine has completed several scores for feature films, including The Curse of Eve and Natalie's Abortion, and the new series Crumble. Music is a language that is able to tell stories across many boundaries. She is deeply involved in the community and created her production company, Sullied Bride Productions, in order to tell our stories ourselves.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jasmine?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's nice to meet you tonight. So I'm very excited to share your story, and thank you for being on the show.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm excited.
You're welcome. So I guess the first question is, when did you come down this crazy road and decide this was what you wanted to do?
It probably started when I first was playing piano, when I was learning at about 6 years old. And then one day, my music teacher, we were going over some sheet music, and she said that the ending of the song didn't fit with the whole song. So she actually wrote a new ending in the song. And me at six, I was just amazed, like, wow, I didn't know you actually could change a song. Because I thought once it's in print, that was it, because that's just my thinking as a child.
Sure.
And then I had this whole new idea that, like, I could write or compose or do something new. And from then on, I was always somewhat interested in just writing music. And then I always was drawn to film scores, because you have like the classics, you have Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Braveheart, all of those. And they just kind of followed me my whole life.
You're mentioning Star Wars, Indiana Jones. I'm like, I'm an 80s child. So I'm hearing that, I'm getting all excited, fantasizing about being in each of those films. So it's really cool to hear you kind of talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you're doing mostly film scores. Now, how'd you get into that?
Well, like I said, I like these classic movies, and it was just, the music just stirred me, because it was, yes, of course, I like the action. I like the adventure and all of that. But especially with Braveheart, I would say that was a film that inspired me the most in terms of a film score, because I was just a child when my parents rented it, because my mother's really into Mel Gibson, and
yeah,
it was 8:30. I saw about the first half hour of this movie, and like the music just stood out to me so much. And then of course 9 o'clock rolls in, all right, time to go to bed, and then I never got to see it. And then of course, you know how Braveheart ends, with the whole disembowelment and everything. So when I wake up the next morning, I ask, well, what happened at Braveheart? My mother, oh, I'm never watching this film again.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what had happened. And then some years later, as an adult, I just hear just a snatch of it, like just flipping through the channels. And I immediately recognize it, because that music just stayed with me for so long. And then I was completely captivated with this story, and then just how that theme just played throughout it. And I was just like, I have been wanting to compose for film, and I've been wanting to do it. But finally, at that moment, it just took me to be like, I can do this. I have to do this. So that's how I kind of got specifically into doing film scores and focusing on that.
Okay, that's cool. Do you have a preference? Like, if you wake up one day, which of these four or five different things you do is it, I got to get this done today for sure. Like every day, no matter what, you got to do that one thing. What is it?
Well, I'm big on having a consistency, like with routines, because when creative energy comes, it comes in this huge wave, right? And then you just feel like you can do everything. And then when the wave stops and then the waters are calm, and then it's frustrating. So like the biggest thing is to just consistently do something every day. So it's just get up and practice. So whether you're learning somebody else's music or working on your own thing, just get up and do just a little bit every day. Write a page every day. Just do a little bit of something each day. So it keeps you from going crazy. So you're always doing something. And so you can just little by little work on a goal. And then you'll find that little by little, you've accomplished a lot. And then when that creative wave comes in, then like you can, just ride the wave, because sometimes you just have to do it. Because like I can't just get up and just write music. It has to inspire me in some way. So when the wave comes, I can just write music. And then it comes in just different phases, because sometimes I focus on just writing the fiction, or just writing for film. And then sometimes I focus on the music, but it comes, but I can't just depend on waiting for it to come. I just try to do something consistently every day, and then like embrace the wave when it's here, and then not worry about it when it's not there.
Yeah. Okay. Now tell us a little bit about your film scoring. People that play the piano, that's probably a huge advantage, don't you think? Or do you play other instruments, or do you score things on a computer? How does that work for you?
Right. Playing a piano is a huge advantage, because the first thing with piano is you have to learn to play with two hands. So you're already looking at multiple tracks already. You're trained to do that. Plus the way the piano is laid out, where you can see the difference between the half step and the whole step and everything, that makes it very easy to know the difference between your key signatures, et cetera, and learn the scales. And then yes, I was in band in school, and I learned a lot about concert bands and music, in spite of all the teachers not necessarily being in my favor.
Sure.
And so it was it's yeah, the piano was definitely a huge advantage for that.
Okay. Tell us about any influences you have. Is there someone that really influenced you?
Well, like probably the big composers, you have James Horner, you have John Williams, Hans Zimmer, Ann Dudley, like John Lund, just a lot of film scores from the films that I like definitely were a huge influence on me. My music teacher, Miss Elizabeth, starting out, that was a huge influence. And my mother, of course, because she told me, once you start this, you're going to have to do this for the rest of your life. So quitting was never an option. So when I made the decision at six, I want to play piano, it was a lifetime commitment.
And do you feel like your mom was supportive? Did she push you? Did she kind of let you do your own thing?
She has been very, very supportive. She, of course, she always pushed traditional education, but just that whole beginning from do this for the rest of your life, she's always instilled that discipline, because a lot of people with natural talent, they might not ever get any further than just that one spurt, because so they lack the discipline. Whereas somebody who's just going through discipline will actually end up surpassing them, because it just takes more of that consistency to do things and accomplish things in music and everything else in the arts. So she was definitely supportive in giving me that discipline and confidence.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's about pushing yourself, and there are definitely people much more talented out there than the ones who make it consistently, but it really takes a combination.
Yes, it does.
Tell us a little bit about your performance in public. Do you still perform in public, or do you mostly work on scores now?
I mostly work on scores. I have not performed in public in a really long time, and I feel like I should, but I mostly just work on scores and just breaking down music, just with finding a theme, finding the emotion for the moment to convey that theme, and how to when exactly to go full in, and when to pull back, and when to be subtle, and just kind of work through all of those little moments until the score is complete.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. How do you collaborate with other musicians? How do you work with them? What's it like now in your world?
Well, I'm seeking more collaboration, actually. A lot of what I've done is I'll write the whole score. I use Finale Notepad as my scoring. And I have collaborated with Orion Burke. He's my cousin and a music conductor. And he can take those files and make them sound more realistic. And he has a background in music engineering. He's very talented. And that has been the extent of my collaboration, but my dream is, in fact, to have a full band one day and then just get everybody together to play this score and even kind of play off of each other and develop something.
Okay, cool. What do you tell someone that just is getting out into the industry and wants to do film scores? Any advice you have for them?
The best advice I would have is sometimes the world is not necessarily falling outward to find you. So sometimes you have to create the space where you're needed, because the reason why I compose scores for the films that I wrote and directed is because, in addition to telling the story I wanted to convey in film, it also gave me the opportunity to write music for film, which is what I've done. Where now, after people have seen the scores, now people are coming and asking me to work on their projects. Whereas before, when I just had music and I was just like, hey, I have this song, it might be good for your film. You don't necessarily are you're not necessarily as received as you would want to be. So sometimes just creating that space where you're needed is what you might need to do in order to break through.
Okay, wonderful. Tell us about this little snippet we're going to hear. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it when we listen to it?
Right, this is the opening scene for the film Natalie's Abortion, which is the film I just did, which is about a woman who is raped by a masked man and uncertain of the fraternity. Her husband pressures her to get an abortion. And the story itself, I sometimes have had night terrors. It's a really intense emotional story. And the opening scene is about this plastic doll on the beach being washed ashore. And I felt like that opening scene and that visual is, you have the emotional theme from the conflict that the character is going to experience throughout this. And it's also combined with like the moving nature of water. And that's what is the womb is. There's what the womb is full of water. And just this whole emotional journey of what it's like for something kind of precious to end up maybe being washed away or washed ashore over time. And so it has the main theme of the character Natalie, as well as what it's like drifting through water and being pulled along.
Okay, awesome. I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen and we'll come back and chat a little more, okay?
All right.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was pretty inspiring.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So, one of the questions I like to ask everybody on this show is about scams. We all want to protect each other. So, any advice on scams, anything you've fallen for, you've heard about that you want to warn everybody about?
Well, I haven't actually come across any scams, but of course, I know they exist. And one of the biggest scam detectors that you could have is if anybody asks you for money. That's the first sign right there. And I think people kind of know this, but deep down, it's that feeling of trying to prove that you're worthy or that you want that recognition from some type of industry. So that's how people get tricked into paying money to different scams. So knowing your worth and not feeling that desperation to try to prove something to somebody else is probably the best way to emotionally prepare yourself that should a scam arise and somebody starts asking you for money, that you can just say no, thank you, and just leave it alone.
Yeah, I think that you hit it on the head. We've all been in that place where you're a little desperate and you think, oh, it's just 50 bucks, 100 bucks, and you kind of want to drink the Kool-Aid and believe it a little bit, but I think you're right. You got to resist the temptation.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite jam from the last like 5 years that you want to admit to us?
Just a my favorite song changes every week. I'm gonna tell you, and it just ranges from everywhere. Right now, my favorite song is One Day in Your Life by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Because even though it's kind of a somber song, it speaks to that, one day you'll realize I was always waiting and that you'll need me. And it's a message that speaks to just relationships in general. It's a message if you want to think about Yeshua, Jesus, as like, one day, he's always waiting for you. So that's my favorite song right now. But then again, in the next week, it could be something different.
Yeah. Tell us about the worst job you ever had.
The worst job I ever had, pertaining to music or just in general?
Anything. Could be anything.
Anything. The worst job I ever had was this brief internship I did at Disney, because everybody at Disney on the surface appears to be very jovial and happy, but that's just an act because they're basically paid to present this nostalgia. But everybody on that job was so mean and nasty and hateful. And so when they're being like overly nice to these guests and treating them like this is the most magical place on earth, then they take it out on the interns and everybody else who's working there. I guess the way to get the venom out of their system or something. So Disney was the absolute worst job I ever had.
Wow, I would not have expected that.
Yes.
Wow, very cool. Okay. Do you have a hidden superpower that you care to confess on the show?
I have many superpowers, yes, and one of my superpowers is super hearing, so I can just hear everything. It's a real superpower that I have, and also I can diagnose people with whatever their problems are and quickly solve them, even when they don't want to hear it or not. That's one of my another one of my superpowers.
Okay, awesome. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Anything new and exciting you want to share with the fans or?
Well, in 5 years, I really see myself in front of a large audience, composing music, writing and directing, and then speaking the story that speaks for the entire generation. And it's not going to just be my story, it's going to be everybody's story, something that everyone can relate to, something that brings people back to that moment where they were like, this is what I've been searching for. And these characters, this story represents who I am. That's what I would like, and that's what I want to be in 5 years.
Okay. Other than music or writing books, what else do you work toward in your free time?
Oh, I don't, but that is a thing. I probably should be more balanced. I should probably leave the house more and make more friends, but I suppose one thing I want to work towards is just being able to relate to people, and have people relate to me, like be able to see one another, see each other as people, and just kind of like maybe create another culture where instead of a lot of internet hate and bashing and trolling, that people just learn to look each other in the eye and see another person and understand them.
Yeah. Okay. What was the last movie you watched that made you cry?
Probably Interstellar,
Okay.
because it's that giant, I mean, spoilers, obviously, it's an old movie, but I was watching it rather recently. And just that moment when they had been on that Wave Planet, and then it had been 20 years for them, and then Matthew McConaughey is watching like all of these moments from his children's lives just play in front of them, and I feel like I've had that moment in my life before where you might have left home for what seemed like a brief time and then come back and then so much has changed, and it just like, and then plus it's a terrifying film to begin with. It's kind of embarrassing, but I was just sitting in my room just crying watching that whole scene.
Okay. Tell us about your socials. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it, anything you want to share with the listeners?
Right. So if you go to my website, sulliedbride.com, S-U-L-L-I-E-D, and then bride, B-R-I-D-E.com, named after my book, Sullied Bride, because apparently I'm one of the only people who ever uses this archaic term, sullied. You can find the music to the films linked right on the page. My music is also available on Spotify and Amazon Music. If you just look up my name, Jasmine Deanne Andrews, J-A-S-M-I-N-E, and then Deanne, D-E-A-N-N-E, Andrews, A-N-D-R-E-W-S. Everything will come up from The Curse of Eve to Natalie's Abortion, A Crumble, to other little projects I've done in between. That's where you can find my material.
Awesome. All right. I got one more question for you before we let you go. How'd you describe the color red to someone who can't see?
Wow, that's a really tough question. I would say color red, it's vibrant. I don't even know. maybe like a trumpet playing a really high staccato tune, because in terms of colors, that's what that color would maybe sound like. So I'd have to write a song and then describe, see if that's the color that comes to mind. Something that's definitely very brassy and bold.
Okay. All right, Jasmine. That was awesome. I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And to all the listeners out there, thank you for listening and spending a little time with the two of us tonight. We both hope that your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everyone. I love you guys.
Baby, I wanna give you a piece of me, of me.
inside of me.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
This program was mixed and mastered by Landis Maitland-Whitelaw at landismaitlandwhitelaw.com.